welcome back to the Google Workspace Update podcast from Strawberry 7. My name is Adam.
And my name is Adam.
We're here every week to bring you all of the latest updates happening in the world of Google Workspace. This podcast is available in audio format from your regular podcast provider and also in video format on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Strawberry7.
Coming up on the show today,
we've only got two updates for you today after Christmas, so those are updates to Google Chrome and Google Meet. And just on a side note, happy Christmas to everybody. Hope you had a wonderful time. And also, happy New Year to you all as well, all our lovely listeners. As always, there is a link in the podcast or video description to the document that we read from. This document contains some more detailed information, relevant links, some pretty pictures, and even some moving graphics showing you these features in action. So, let's get to it.
On with the show. Right, so first up, for the very first update of 2024, we have an update to Google Chrome. So there's now updates for managed iOS devices with the release of Chrome 120. Is it 120? Is it 120? I'm not sure the correct way of pronouncing that, but there is an update to Google Chrome 120, 120. So in the coming weeks, Google will be introducing several improvements to Chrome on iOS that will help admins more seamlessly apply policies and preferences across their users' managed devices. This launch will align with a planned release of Google Chrome 120, 120. Specifically, these improvements are cross-device policy application, so whether it's a company-owned or personal device, Chrome user policies can be applied when a user signs in to the Chrome browser with their managed account. So this ensures a consistent and secure browsing experience across all devices. Also, management notice for end users. Managed end users will begin seeing a management notice informing them that their organization manages the account they are signed into. This transparency not only fosters trust, but also keeps users informed about the security measures in place to protect their data. And finally, admin console integration. So admins can easily activate this functionality through the admin console under the Chrome on iOS browser settings. This centralized control allows admins to tailor policies to meet the specific needs of their organization, ensuring a customized and secure browsing environment for all users.
Okay, so just so that I understand this correctly, Adam, this is talking about iOS devices which are managed within an organization, I guess through the sort of Google management interface, but then it's also talking about Chrome, but as an app on those iOS devices. Have I got all of that right?
Almost. So you have an iOS device with Google Chrome installed with this latest update, Chrome 120, but you're signed in with a managed account. So it doesn't have to be a managed device. It's just the managed account that you're signed into or on your iOS device that can now push the policies out onto.
Right, thank you for clarifying that. So it's literally just signing into a managed account. Right,
okay, basically,
that
yeah.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the right thing here, but it is talking about the Chrome app on an iOS device.
Yes, and by iOS device, I'm assuming it basically just means iPhone, or potentially iPod, as well, because it doesn't mention iPad OS or Mac OS. iOS basically just refers to iPhones these days.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because it's now iPad OS, right? They kind of separated that out a while ago. It's a good point, actually. Or maybe they do mean iOS as an umbrella term, but I guess it's sort of more mobile devices. So that's interesting. The only thing that I'm not seeing here, which I would like to see, which is a small thing, but it's a real bugbear of mine. I've tried using Chrome app on an iOS device, and it has this really annoying, it's not even a restriction, it's just kind of the way it works, but I can't believe that Google haven't changed it. And I don't know if you've found it, if you've tried to use the Chrome app at all on your iPhone, but when you sign in to the Chrome app, you can sign into multiple accounts, just like you can on, you know, a desktop and have multiple profiles within Chrome. But it's so hard to switch between them. You can't just click on your icon and like switch to an account. You sort of click on it and all you can do is view the accounts, and then you can sign out of all of them. It's really weird. It's a really weird way it works.
Oh, I see. I haven't actually tried switching accounts. So generally, I've just made the decision for my personal browsing. I'm just using Safari on my phone. But then if I do need to do work browsing, then I would be signed in with my work Google account on my phone. But I've not actually tried swapping between Google accounts on my phone. I must say, I don't love Google Chrome on my iPhone, so I tend not to use it, actually. Love it on desktop, great on desktop, but on my phone, I don't actually love it, so I actually tend not to use it.
Yeah, I think this is sort of part of the reason of why I don't like it as well, because I think to myself, I use Chrome all the time on my desktop. I want to be able to take
have
my
the same experience.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm always switching between different profiles, not just because of the customers we support, but even within my own environment, I'm switching between different profiles. So I find it really frustrating that you can't easily switch between that. But anyway, that's an aside. There's nothing about that in this particular update, but maybe with what they're updating with this Chrome 120, they'll put something in that will maybe make that a little bit easier. So breaking down this update then, as always, you know, any improvements that we sort of see within this experience is going to be very, very nice. So I really like some of the things which are mentioned here. It's also potentially solving some of those problems of the bring your own device conundrum that IT administrators face and companies face with how to keep that secure and how to keep users informed. And we've always found, especially with teaching staff, that it's a very fine line to walk, isn't it? Because not only are you walking the line between company devices and personal devices, but also in safeguarding realms as well, where some, we've talked about it before on this podcast, where sometimes those can clash with each other. So I think the notification for the end users is nice to be able to see that you are on a managed profile. The only sort of caveat I would say to that is I hope that that management notice isn't going to be every single time you switch to the profile. I find it a bit annoying in Google when they do things like that. It's like when you go into Gmail and you're emailing an external person.
It lets you know every single time.
Every single time. Oh my God, you're emailing an external person. It's like, yes, I know. You don't need to tell me.
Intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to tell me every time. I've emailed this person like 3 times today, you know. So that can be a bit annoying. So hopefully that's not going to be every single time.
You just mentioned that it's quite nice for the end users to kind of get that notification. I'd actually say from a support perspective as well, I think it's actually quite nice for us to be able to see. So especially if somebody comes up to me with their device and say, oh, I need some help doing this on my phone, literally at a quick glance, you can just see whether they're signed in with the correct account or not. Because you should see, because there will be the bit that says that is managed by your organisation or not. It's not always super clear by the profile picture. And in fact, I'm not even sure if you see the profile picture on iOS in the same way that you do on the desktop. So it's just something to kind of help establish whether you're in, if you have the right settings right from the get-go.
Yes, that's a very, very good point, actually. I hadn't thought of that from a support point of view. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But, of course, the biggest thing is being able to apply these policies, you know, and being able to apply these sort of various experience policies when people sign in on Chrome. That's going to really, really help with keeping the security tight, keeping the GDPR compliance. I would imagine, you know, Google haven't gone into too many details here about what they are. I imagine they're on the links as to what policies you can set. But I would like to see those policies that exist in Microsoft, for example, where you, if you signed into Chrome in a company policy and it was applying a company policy, it would restrict you from being able to copy and paste data out into, say, your personal email account or something along those lines. You know, that would be, or even moving files around and things like that.
Yes, so you can copy and paste within the Google app, but not between Google app and any other app on your phone, and the other way around as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's quite a good example. So again, you know, you don't want to restrict people from working, but you just need to balance it with security. It's
which
again,
is always a very fine line to balance.
Yeah, a bit of a tightrope to walk. Okay, so what's the getting started on this then, Adam?
Okay, so for the admins getting started, in the admin console, navigate to Chrome browser, settings, then Chrome on iOS to start applying policies and preferences. They could also visit Google's Help Center if they'd like to learn more about setting Chrome policies for users and browsers, and I've added a link in our document for that. For the end users, you can also visit Google's Help Center if you wish to learn more about how your iOS device is managed, and of course there's a link in the document for that as well.
Great, thank you for that, Adam. There's also a nice picture here for everybody, and it's actually quite good on the picture. It does show you what that warning is, where it says, sign in with a managed account. Basically, you're going to be signing in with a managed account. Do you want to continue? So if that's the only warning that comes up, that's quite nice, because that's only really when you sign in, it's saying you're going to be signing into a managed account. But like Adam says, it is quite nice as well to have it up there to say that you are signed in with that particular account. I just think... like I say, I don't want to go on and pest too much, but whilst we're talking about Chrome app on iOS, which we haven't really, I don't think, ever talked about before, I really do wish that Google would make some good improvements to that app. Make it more obvious as to what account you signed in on, like you're saying, Adam, just like they do with the Drive app. You know, Drive app, you've got your profile picture there, it's really easy. And this is what I don't get. On the Drive app, yeah, Docs actually. App... It's super simple to see what account you signed in on.
I was actually just thinking with Gmail as well, because quite often somebody will ask me to help them set up their work email account on their mobile phone under the Gmail app. And so then I do that all the time, and it's super simple and quick and easy, A, to see which app, which account you're signed into, and to swap between the accounts as well. But it sounds like you're saying it's not as easy to do that on Google Chrome.
That's right. I've just opened Chrome on my iPhone just to make sure I'm not going crazy. Now, they do put the profile picture up in the top right. Okay, great, brilliant. That's fine. It would be quite nice if...
Not
if you
set a profile picture.
Yeah, well, this is it. If you've got a profile picture set, then that's fine. It's a bit of a shame because there's a whole load of dead... I don't know whether I can really show you, but there's a whole load of dead space at the top of the screen next to your profile picture. It would be quite nice if they put just the account name next to that, because it's just dead space otherwise. But this is the weird thing. When you click on it, it will show you, yes, you're signed into this account. Sorry about my virtual background blocking it out. You can tap on your profile picture, and that shows you your account. And you would imagine that that's where you can switch between different accounts, because if you tap on that, it then says, here's all the other profiles that you're signed in on Chrome, and you think, ah, brilliant. But if you tap on one of the other profiles...
Does it say, do you want to manage your account, or basically to change settings for your account?
It doesn't switch to that account. It just says, do you want to manage it, or do you want to remove it? I don't want to do either. I just want to switch to it. And I've never worked out. Maybe it's me. And if one of our listeners is thinking to themselves, you don't know how to use the Chrome app on iOS, please tell me. It could be me just not understanding how to switch between different profiles. Or maybe there's something that you need to enable in the app to switch between profiles. I don't know. But it's not intuitive.
Either way, it should be clear. It should be fairly obvious. It shouldn't be a struggle to say, oh, how do I just sign in with my account?
Yeah, exactly. And I know exactly how they could make the interface better. Google AI bot that's obviously hanging on our every word. You know, it's easy to make it clearer. Simply, that profile picture that's in the top right, when you click on it, just have all the accounts listed that you're signed in as, and add account at the bottom. And I tell you why that would be simpler.
Just like it is on desktop.
Exactly, because it just replicates it on the desktop. So just do what you've got on the desktop already, and just make it
the same. So
looking
for a setting that you're already familiar with.
Exactly. It's just creating that familiarity.
One of my issues, or I say issues, one thing, one of the reasons why I actually tend to stay away from the iOS app for Google Chrome is bookmarks. So under different profiles, I've got loads of bookmarks that are all super helpful, and I'd want to be able to get onto them super quickly. So obviously I just have the sync enabled on my account. So usually I just sign in, and all my bookmarks and all my passwords, everything that I need to access whatever I want, is just there. on the iOS app, it's not there. You can access bookmarks, yes, but it's just not the same experience, and basically I don't like it.
yeah, exactly. Well, you don't want a kind of jarring experience, do you? And I've always found it really weird that the Chrome app is so different from Chrome on a desktop, like you describe. Everything's kind of in a really weird place. It doesn't flow in the same way. I've just always found that very strange myself. But maybe that's just in iOS. Maybe people who are on Android are thinking to themselves, I don't know what they're talking about because it's very similar on Android. Maybe this is just an iOS experience. But anyway, I can talk about Chrome OS all day. So what's the rollout pace here and availability, please, Adam?
Okay, so rollout. So for the end user notifications, a rapid and scheduled release, there is an extended rollout for this, so potentially longer than 15 days, which began on January the 3rd. For the admin console integration, rapid and scheduled release, there's a gradual rollout, which is beginning on January 24th. So that one's at the end of the month. And this update is going to be available to all Chrome Browser Cloud Management and Google Workspace customers.
Oh, cool. So pretty much across to everybody then. That's great to hear. what have we got next, please, Adam?
Up next, we have an update to Google Meet. So, improvements to Google Meet ultra-low latency live streaming. Last year, Google announced a new ultra-low latency viewing experience for video meetings that are streamed within an organization. This sounds slightly familiar, so I'm pretty sure we must have covered it on this podcast. And since launch, they've introduced several improvements for the overall experience. So, meeting hosts can now add or start live streaming from any ongoing Google Meet call, even if it wasn't initially planned to be live streamed. Live stream viewers can now see the size of the audience in the top left live stream indicator. The join screen now has a quick access button which meeting participants can use to join a live stream if they prefer that experience over the regular call. Video feed will start even faster when joining live streams with larger audiences, and viewing live streams from the Google Meet mobile app on Android and iOS devices is now supported. These improvements will be available for Google Meet on web and meeting room hardware.
Oh, okay. So this is kind of an unusual update, actually, in the fact that it's an update almost to Google Meet and Google Meet hardware in one, but that makes a lot of sense. So sort of covering these updates, I mean, generally all of these sound great. I think that the ability to be able to start a live stream within a Google Meet is brilliant.
I love that. I think that may be my favourite section of this, because especially say, for example, if we're having a meeting just like this, and we're like, you know what, this is super important, let's just live stream it. But but maybe you want to have a more confidential meeting, maybe you're doing a bit of planning or something beforehand, before you then want to actually live stream it and have a large audience. So I really like that you can kind of swap between the two. I'm not sure if you can swap back. I'm not sure if it's a two-way street, but I really like the fact that you can go from a regular Google Meet meeting to then become a live stream.
Yes, yeah, you're right. It doesn't actually cover whether you can swap back, but you're absolutely right, because you can't always plan that you're going to live stream, and it's nice to just be able to do that on the fly. The audience count is... Initially, I thought, oh, that's cool. That might kind of backfire for whoever's doing the live stream if they... maybe don't want the audience to see how many people are viewing, because, you know, it's in certain events you might not want to people to see that there's three people viewing or nobody viewing or something like that.
It's great if we're talking hundreds or thousands or potentially more, but if you can count on one hand the size of your audience, then maybe you don't want to broadcast that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not to be too pessimistic about it, but Google... unfortunately, not to be too offensive to Google, but they do fall into this trap time and time again, because they are a multi-hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollar, trillion dollar company. When they do a live stream, everyone listens. Do you know what I mean? There's thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people who might be watching. But it's not like that for everybody, Google, just to let you know. You know, when you're a small business or you're trying to grow your audience or you're trying to start out, you don't just have that viewership. And I think Google often forget that, just like in the partner sort of briefings that they give us sometimes when they're talking about hypotheticals and they're talking about schools with 60,000 students in and things like that. And you think, please tell me where that is in the UK, because I've never encountered a school anywhere near that size. It's more common over in America with these big school districts. It's not so common here in the UK. So again, Google can kind of be a bit ignorant, I think, to sometimes, or come across a bit ignorant to the fact that there aren't always those, not everybody is like Google, right? Not everybody is thinking and operating on this gigantic scale like Google do. So I think that's an interesting feature. There's nothing in here about whether you can turn that off as a host, but maybe that's a bit further down. The quick access buttons are quite nice. The streaming starting faster is always useful. You know, the video feed going in a little bit sooner. That's useful to know for people who are used to doing live streams, actually, because you're going to have to be ready pretty much as soon as you do it. Because if your video stream is going to go live, you're going to want to sort of be ready straight away. And viewing on apps is now supported, which is great. So, you know, I think overall these are very, very nice to see.
For the admins out there, you can visit Google's Help Center for more information about turning live streaming on or off for Meet, and also how to prepare your network. There is a link in our document for that. For the end users, when enabled by your admin, you can use Google's Help Center if you'd like to learn more about live streaming a video meeting. But for the viewers out there, so if you're on a computer, you can now join streams just as before. Reactions, polls, and live Q&A work like in a regular Google Meet video meeting. On mobile, you can now join streams within the Google Meet app. However, there are some feature restrictions, and I've added a link if anybody would like to learn more about that. For the live stream hosts, live streams are scheduled and managed just as before.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. And what's the rollout pace here, please?
Okay, so to join live streams from the Google Meet mobile app, so on Android, rapid release is available right now. Scheduled release, there's a gradual rollout, which began on January the 3rd, with anticipated completion by January the 11th, so quite soon for that. For iOS, rapid release, there is a gradual rollout, which began on January the 3rd, with anticipated completion by January the 8th. Scheduled release, there is also a gradual rollout, which is beginning on January the 8th, with anticipated completion by January the 18th. For Google Meet in Gmail, rapid release is available right now. Scheduled release, there's a gradual rollout, which began on January the 3rd, with anticipated completion by January the 11th. All other updates that we have mentioned are available right now.
Oh, okay, that's great. So a lot of this stuff is available now. That's really nice to hear. And what's the availability, please?
Okay, so live streaming is available for Google Workspace Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Essentials Plus, the Teaching and Learning Upgrade, and Education Plus customers. Live streamed meetings can be viewed by Google Workspace Business Starter, Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Starter, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, Education Standard, the Teaching and Learning Upgrade, Education Plus, Essentials Starter, and Essentials users. Not available to users with personal Google accounts.
That's quite interesting. So the live streaming is available for basically education tiers, and there's a bit of enterprise in there. So it's like, have I got that right? So it's Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, that's Business Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Essentials Plus, and then you've got Education, and with that it's Teaching and Learning Upgrades and Education Plus. So again, if you're listening and you're an MSP, again, it's another nice paid feature on the paid sort of tier if schools want to do a live stream. I know that schools like doing that to parents and things like that. Under
I was just thinking
conditions.
That I can see live streaming being very helpful in education, whether that's a various type of assembly, whether it's like an award assembly, whether you've got some kind of a production or musical production type thing going on at school to live stream to the parents. I can definitely see how useful this could be within education.
Yeah, for sure. And then in business, it's right at that top end. It's enterprise, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, maybe this is Google's sort of caveat of saying, well, you've got your live audience viewing there because you're enterprise level, right? So you would be a much bigger company, and this would sort of work on that level. So that makes sense. And it sort of, I think those tiers are appropriate for what this feature is, because a smaller company might not want to live stream. Having said that, it is quite useful for sort of doing webinars and various things like that. So, but hey, those are the tiers that they've put it on, and that's what it's.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, so although we cannot live stream ourselves, we can join Google's live streams to view whatever they would like to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely, and that makes a lot of sense that it's more open for people to be able to view. So yeah. Lovely, thank you very much, Adam. And that's it, everybody. That's everything that's happening in the world of Google Workspace. Remember that this podcast is available in audio format from wherever you cast your pods, and also in video format on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/strawberry7. Thank you very much for joining us this week.
And we'll be back again next week with more updates.
Goodbye.
Bye.